All right, we'll call the meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals to order. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Mr. Smetana?
Here.
Ms. O'Brien?
Here.
Mr. Lucchese?
Here.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Here.
Chairman Martin?
Here.
Mr. Bernie and Ms. Schupkegel are absent. You have a quorum.
All right, the first matter on the agenda this evening is the approval of the minutes from our meeting on November 14th. These minutes were circulated by the village. Has everybody had an opportunity to review them? We have a motion to approve these minutes.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Any discussion? You want to call the roll, please?
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yeah.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Smetana?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
He wasn't here. Yes. We'll show Mr. Smetana as abstaining because he wasn't here for the meeting. All right, so we're going to change the order of things this evening. And the next thing we're going to do is to consider the proposed text amendment to the zoning ordinance. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to address the board concerning the proposed text amendment or concerning the revariation request? You need to sign up in order to address the board, and the sheet is up there. So after you've signed up, if you please stand for a minute, we'll ask the secretary to swear you in.
First, I'll read the admonition. To those who will testify at the public hearing, you were reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to this matter before the Zoning Board of Appeals?
I do.
I do.
Okay. All right, so as part of our zoning code, we have a chart that shows the various uses that are approved in various zoning districts, and these uses are defined in the code. So what we have before us this evening is a proposed text amendment to the definition of a beauty shop, and that's going to be presented to us by Ms. Shiner on behalf of the village.
Thank you. So as Chairman Martin said, there are some text amendments before you tonight. There was a request recently from Dustin Cagnina, who would like to open a beauty salon and would like to have as an accessory use to that salon certain personal care services, including micropigmentation. When the request came in, the zoning administrator was reviewing both the zoning ordinance and the land use chart to determine whether or not this was a permitted use. And during those discussions, we saw that the zoning code currently did not have a definition for beauty shops. So we felt it would be appropriate to ask the village board, the zoning board, that we create a definition for beauty shops that's a pretty standard definition and certainly appropriate and relates to the services that are currently provided by these types of uses in the village. Beauty shops are currently permitted uses in the commercial zoning district, so C1, 2, and 3 in the ORIC district. In addition, the specific request for micropigmentation, so there are a variety of reasons why micropigmentation might be used. It is someone who performs the service does have to have has to have the appropriate certifications, licenses from the state for tattooing. But in this context, it's typically used for the permanent application of cosmetics or makeup, or as part of restoration services, restorative services for women who have been through breast cancer and are going through different procedures to restore themselves after that surgery. So what we are proposing is that permanent cosmetics, microblading, micropigmentation, and similar care services be defined and made as a permitted use, as an accessory use to beauty shops, meaning that this would not give someone the ability to open a standalone tattoo shop. These kinds of services would have to go on within a beauty shop. Further, there is language in here limiting the type of micropigmentation that can be done so that tattoo services are not done in a beauty shop under the guise of it being micropigmentation. So if we were to determine or if we were to find that someone was performing those types of services, it would be a violation of the zoning ordinance and we would be able to cite them and put a stop to that. So that is what is before you tonight, is really a definition of beauty shop, a definition of permanent cosmetics, microblading, micropigmentation, and the proposal to modify the land use chart to list these as a permitted accessory use in the commercial zoning districts, and that they would be accessory to beauty shops.
All right, anybody got any questions? Is there anything we should be concerned about as the safety of this procedure?
There are licenses that estheticians, cosmeticians, people who perform these services have to get through the state and through the health department. It's regulated in that manner.
Okay.
Are they licensed by the state?
In order to do the micropigmentation, you have to have a license through the state. And any esthetician and anyone who cuts hair, massages, facials, they all have state licenses that they have to obtain.
Does a location have to have certain things?
Well, I'm certain they do.
Shop nearby, a tattoo parlor? I don't see why not. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm sure there's certain equipment that they have to have. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, we've all been inside barbershops and beauty shops. There's certainly equipment that they have relative to the services that they're providing.
So is this a common definition, Carmen, that you've seen in other zoning codes?
My understanding is it is. It's becoming more of a common practice. In the area, and it's a newer type of procedure that is not only used for cosmetic purposes but also for restoring individuals' appearances after medical procedures, as Secretary did mention.
Right, and they're just anecdotally in the office. Some of the different applications we've heard is with regard to, you know, post-surgery restoration. There are those people who have some muscular challenges or muscular ailments that make it difficult for them to apply cosmetics, and so some people choose to have the have the cosmetics permanently applied at the outset of that, so that you know, because they're just going to lack motor function to be able to do that as their disease progresses. So those are some of the different applications we've learned about while researching some of this. I think under 18 requires parental consent.
I think that's true.
That's a good question. We can look it up if you feel that makes a difference for you in terms of your vote. Certainly whatever the state regulations are would apply here. I can take a moment, see if I can find it.
Well, it's whatever. If we recommend this as an accessory use, we're still going to be bound by whatever state regulations or state laws there are.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're not smarter than the state of Illinois.
ILGA.gov, in order to qualify for that, well, 18 is certainly for tattoos.
Anybody else got any questions? Anybody want to make a motion of any kind?
I'll make a motion that we amend the text for the beauty shop.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, so it's been moved and seconded that we amend the definition of beauty shop and accessory uses as set out in this request. Is there any discussion? Ready to take a vote?
Sure.
Okay.
Mr. Smetana?
I would vote yes, but I would want to make sure that the record an issue whether or not children under 18 can get the procedure without parental consent.
Okay.
Can I vote yes?
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, so that'll be our recommendation to the Board of Trustees. The next matter on the agenda is a request for variation for the property located at 243 Park Avenue, River Forest. As I've discussed with the board, the presentation is going to be made by Mr. Zinni. I have hired Mr. Zinni in the past, and he is currently doing work for me. So I'm going to recuse myself from this hearing, even though I think I can make a fair decision, but I don't want there to be any reason that anybody could argue that the decision has been tainted because of the economic relationship that Mr. Zinni and I have. So I'm going to recuse myself.
Yeah. We have a clarification from the attorney. A moment on the text amendment.
Just briefly, because the village's requests were for two separate text amendments, we'd recommend two separate votes. One for the definition of beauty shop, the other one for the definition of the procedures. That way, if there is any change on the board level, it can be delineated that they were both either approved or not approved.
All right, so the first vote then was on the definition of beauty shop.
Correct, and that was moved properly and voted properly. So we would seek a second motion to approve the text amendment as presented to section 10-21.
So we want to make
regarding
that
the procedures.
I'll make a motion.
There's a second.
As it was presented.
I'll second.
Any discussion? You want to call the roll?
Sure. Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Smetana?
Yes, with the same comment.
Understood. Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. Okay, so we're back to 243 Park. What I said before stands. I'm going to recuse myself because of the economic relationship I have with Mr. Zinni. And since Ms. O'Brien is the longest serving member of the board, I would suggest that the board replace me with her as the chairman for the rest of this meeting. Thank you.
Yeah, so typically in this situation, someone would make a motion and second it to appoint Ms. O'Brien as chair pro tem for the meeting.
I make the motion.
Voice vote or roll call?
Let's do a roll call.
Okay. Let's see, Chairman Martin is absent. Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Mr. Smetana?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien? I think you could. Yes. Okay. All right. Tagger, you can stay there. You can come up front if you prefer.
I'll stay here.
Okay. All right.
Before we begin, I wanted to disclose my relationship with the applicants. I don't believe there's a conflict of interest that prevents me from considering or voting on this matter, but for the sake of transparency, I want to include it in the record. I know the applicants for a number of years. Their daughter and my daughter are at the same grade level at Roosevelt. Lincoln as well, and played soccer together, so I've known them socially. I have no economic relationship with them or business relationship with them. I don't feel that my relationship with them socially is going to affect my consideration of matters at hand or vote. I do not think it's appropriate that I recuse myself at this time.
Okay. All right. We want to turn it over to the applicant.
Who wants to make the presentation?
Can we have a few words first?
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for your consideration, first and foremost. My name is Christopher Plavac. This is my wife, Deanna.
Hello.
My son, Marcus, is in back, and my daughter will be here shortly.
She's here.
Oh, she's here? Oh, I didn't even see you. We've been in the village now for 4.5 years. We fell in love with the area because I've been working here for the last 20, and we own a small business in town. And we saw this house, we fell in love with it, we loved it. It's a small, modest house on a corner, as you plainly see. And what we would like to do is put a second story addition on the house. just straight up and with a small modest opening on the side. And the reason we would like to do that, as opposed to building to this side or in the back, we do not want to get closer to our neighbors because they have skylights on their second floor, and we don't want to, you know, get too close to them where they feel uncomfortable, or we block any of their light or so on and so forth, things like that. And one little thing, little tidbit, when we bought this house, we remodeled the bathroom, pulled permits, obviously, and I told my wife I was going to die in this house, hopefully. And we pulled the paper out of the wall, which was some of the insulation at the time. And the date of the newspaper, I kid you not, was my exact birth date, December 8th, 1971. So I knew we were meant to be in this house, but you know, we'll see how things go here. And we would just like to put the addition on the second floor.
Thank you. I feel the same way.
Hello, my name's Mark Zinni. I'm the architect Christiana hired to work on their addition. And hopefully everybody has a packet of what we submitted. And then also there was a notice of a hearing for a zoning variance. Real quick, there was a little bit of a correction that needs to be made. We are not, it says the applicant is requesting a variation for section 10-8-5 that would allow the property to have lot coverage equal to 33.8% of the lot. We are not requesting that at all. Matter of fact, our lot coverage is about 20% or 10% below the permitted. We are requesting the front yard setback of 31.3 inches, and the secondary side yard setback to 3 feet 1.5, which matches the existing. That we are. So I just want to be clear on what we're requesting for the variance. Real quickly, what I'd like to show in our packet, what we have here, when you first, you know, flip through it and go to the first page, we have some information on the property. It's already zoned R2. We're going to keep the zoning the same. It's going to stay a single family residence. Our whole variance is really for the second floor addition on top of an existing non-conforming residence. It's a corner lot. So if you go to the third page, when you see that and you see our request, the front yard, we're really just matching in, and it's only a few inches. We're matching the overhang. That is part of the request. But really the primary request is the secondary side yard. Since it is a corner lot, the zoning is very clear in saying that a 50-foot lot in River Forest needs to have a 13-foot side yard, secondary side yard setback. It says if the lot gets larger, there's a ratio you need to increase that. It does not address any properties less in width than 50 feet. It's like they don't exist on a corner lot. But we're taking the 13 foot as being the standard, even though it really doesn't address lots less than 50 feet. So assuming we have the 13 foot side yard setback, that is the request we're asking for. So, and if you look at, I don't know if you have to, but I did bring a copy of it, section 10-8.7. It does say on secondary streets, the front yard shall be a minimum of 13 feet for a 50-foot wide lot. Again, it doesn't address a 42-foot wide lot. So if you could flip through the pages a little bit, and then we talk about the setback, I'd like to just kind of introduce the property. And if you could go to the one section, and we tried to be cute and do it with some colors. If you go to the just past the red section and fold out the page, you could see the site plan of the existing house, the existing side Park Avenue, and then there's Linden Street. And the existing house has a side yard, secondary side yard setback right now of 3 foot 1.25. The house runs on a slight angle, but that's the worst case scenario, so that's the number we're using. So we're proposing a second floor addition over the existing house, not the front porch. And we're proposing a modest side entry to get the front entry away from the front of the street as much and bring it on the side. And then that entry doesn't run up the full second floor. If you go to the second page real quickly, you could see we're just suggesting, again, a kind of a modest home. It's an open plan, which is pretty popular right now. We're keeping the first floor pretty much the way it is, but we're removing a fair amount of walls. The second floor, what we're trying to introduce are just bedrooms, you know, more bedrooms for the client, which they plan on utilizing. And that's on sheet B3. You can see it's a three-bedroom house with a master bath and a hallway closet. Again, kind of what we're looking for in R2 and River Forest. And then sheet B4 shows the front elevation. And what we're trying to keep is the character of the scale of the house to their existing scale of the house and the existing neighborhood. So we're still keeping an overhang where we have a roof that sets back at the first story. We set the second story back a little bit, and we have a hip roof with some dormers to break that down. It's important to note that the height is about 5 feet below the maximum. It could be 35 feet. We're not close to the maximum height at all. We're staying below the permitted height of 35 feet. The next sheet, A5, shows a side elevation on the one side, and it's a little harder to tell, but where you have the side entry, and then it steps back for the stair, and then we're kind of keeping the house where it's at. That's important. Chris started to address that, how we're trying not to build this addition as close to the lot line on the south, because the neighbor to the south, who's a wonderful neighbor, who wrote a wonderful letter endorsing this project's house, was built within 3 feet of the lot line. Their sidewalk covers their entire lot line to the side, so their water sheds to Chris and Deanna's property. We're trying not to adversely affect any of that drainage, and try to keep some space between their property and Chris and Deanna's property. Then B6 is the rear elevation, and then the other street elevation is B7, which is real similar to what's there before on B7. And again, to break down the height of the second floor, we tried to keep that roof line going around the whole house and then add the addition to the top of that. So this is the street side that will be seen from Linden Avenue. Then if you go to the blue section real quick, which is to give you a little more information, we showed some existing pictures of the house. You can see the character of the house, how we're trying to keep the dormer, similar overhangs, you know, similar scale. On the C1, you could see where the neighbor's house is kind of close. If we would fill that whole side in, we'd be adversely close, I think, to the neighbor's house if we did that. The rear elevation, it kind of gives you an idea from the back on C2 why we're trying to just go up and not go as close to the property line to the adjacent side. And then C2 also shows a corner view of Linden. D1 is a copy of two of the letters we received. And then also, Lisa, if you don't mind, we received another letter. Or do I submit it to you? Okay, very good.
Why don't you let the chairwoman see it first?
Oh, absolutely. There they
are, all three of them. Thank you.
Another letter of support, I should say. And then if you keep going on, that's kind of the calculations we need to do that shows that the house is in compliance with zoning site coverage and floor area ratio. Very briefly, beside being below the requirement of the height, we're about 10% below possible site coverage and similar for floor area ratio. So and that's a function of the square footage of the lot. So even though it's a small lot, we're still proportionately below what is permitted. And I always think that's important to realize we're not trying to push the envelope of the scale of the house compared to what is permitted. So if you don't mind flipping back to the front, it's always important to go over the standards for a variation. And if you go to the one sheet where we have in the standards, it's about the fourth sheet in. It talks about the physical surroundings and the conditions. And we believe the physical surroundings and conditions do create a specific hardship. You know, the second story addition we think is the best solution for the living space for this relatively small modest structure. And it meets the needs of a growing family, and that's what River Forest is all about. We think, you know, family. In addition, it eliminates the need for additional foundation and roof work, thus not creating a property that is overdeveloped, creating more impervious surface. Drainage to the neighbors, as you talk to anybody in public works, is one of the biggest complaints, and we're trying not to create a situation where we could adversely affect the neighbors on that. The second one is we think the physical, obviously the physical condition existed prior. The present owner did not put this property there. It was there obviously before. And it's an unusually narrow site. That's real important in my mind to remember. It's only 42 feet wide as opposed to a standard 50-foot lot in the rest of River Forest. So that, in my mind, makes it an unusual physical condition. The petition is not based, it may not be applicable to other properties. I realize this is important because you don't want to all of a sudden make a change to the zoning. And the big thing is the unusual width of the lot. We have a typo in here. We wrote 45 feet. It is actually 42 feet. And I don't know if it matters, but I did bring a survey too, which I didn't include in that package, but I could hand that out too, the existing survey of the house. The other thing that's real important on this is all the houses on this block are shifted to the north. So they all have this larger space to the south. And that's what we're trying to respect, is this kind of spatial rhythm that was set up between the different houses as you're going up and down the block. The fourth item is it's not based, you know, predominantly upon the desire for economic gain. It's really based on trying to keep the character of the house and trying to make a home more habitable for residents. Number five, granting this variation will not be detrimental to the public welfare or interest because it is a single family residence. It's going to stay a single family residence. We're not going to even have to increase our water service. We're not going to have to increase our sewage line. The utilities, which are not private utilities, they will be increased modestly, mostly for electrical and naturally for life safety. The next one, number six, is the variation does not impair the supply of natural light and air to the adjacent property. And that's really kind of the main reason we're trying to shift the house to the north. Beside, we think it's a better solution for the owner if we're granted that. Number seven, it talks about taxing the public utilities. I kind of jumped ahead and already talked about that. And then there's no other means, number eight, to request this variance by which alleged hardship or difficulty can be avoided. We think that is the case because we have an existing footprint. You know, that's where the existing house is. There's existing drainage situations and there's existing adjacent properties. So we feel this is the best request for this variance. So in conclusion, and hopefully if you have any questions, please feel free to ask them. But in conclusion, we're requesting leniency on the secondary side yard setback primarily, and a little bit on the front to match the existing. And the whole reason for that is to create a residence that we feel is going to be more in keeping with the existing residence textures and intent of the community in that area. And we hope you agree to that. Thank you very much.
Anybody questions? Else?
I don't know if anybody else or neighbor. No.
Anybody have any questions?
No.
Wait. I don't know if you were sworn in.
This is
Were you sworn in?
No.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matters before this zoning review board?
I certainly will.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Richard Schneider. I live at 246 Park, which is directly across the street from the house in, that's in subject. And I just want to testify that I've known the Pavaches since they moved in, and they're fantastic neighbors. And this is our third house in River Forest, and these are the favorite neighbors that we've ever had. And that we feel like they bring a lot to the community, and that their project would only bring value to the community and not harm it in any way that I could possibly see.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. I do have one question. Yeah, Mr. Zinni,
sure.
In your application, you noted, although the combined side yard setback requirement probably should not apply to a corner lot, this has not been formally encoded in the zoning ordinance. The applicant wishes for a formal verification of this opinion. So we're not prepared to give an opinion on that tonight, but my question is, there was no zoning variation requested or included in the legal notice for a combined side yard setback. If we assume that those regulations do in fact apply to this property, is a variation to the combined side yard setback needed?
It would be if you're going to hold it to the same side yard setback requirement for an interior lot.
Okay.
So right now the corner lots don't adhere to the side yard setback, and I don't have it completely memorized, but it has to be a certain percentage. It's 10% for each side, and if you add the two together, you have to be 25% of the total. So that's for an interior lot. Corner lots usually don't apply to that, but we're just trying to verify that that's not held to that standard. Cliff actually asked us to make sure that's put in there.
Okay.
Because he doesn't hold that.
I appreciate that. So,
yeah.
So the building official has made a preliminary determination that he doesn't believe that that standard applies. Therefore, there is no variation requested to the combined side yard setback, and there was no combined side yard setback variation request included in the legal notice.
Correct.
So our attorney isn't prepared to respond to that tonight. Certainly we can accumulate that information, and if a public hearing is needed, we would have to come back to this body and go through this process again if there is a variation that's needed there. But we would certainly do that and make sure that there's some clarification provided for you
sure.
before this matter goes to the
yeah.
village board, so we can tie it all up in one package if needed.
Sure,
if needed.
Completely.
And based on the building administrator's recommendation and in previous hearings that I recall for corner lot, similar requests for variances, I don't believe it would apply, which is why the variance likely was not indicated as needed by the building administrator.
Right. So I just wanted to make sure that that was a part of the record since it's
very good. Appreciate it. Glad you brought that up. I should have. Yep.
Is there anybody else that wants to talk? Anybody have any questions for them?
So the applicant was correct. There was no request for a lot coverage variation.
That was picked up by mistake
yeah,
in the legal notice. I don't think it nullifies the legal notice. But yeah, that was picked up.
As correctly. Long as nothing's missing from the legal notice, we're fine. If more
right.
things are added that aren't required, it's fine. So the requested motion would be for a recommendation to approve a variance or variation to section 10-8-7 to allow a front yard setback of 31 feet 3.5 inches and a secondary front yard setback of 3 feet 1.25 inches.
Can I ask for clarification?
Sure.
it's also indicated that the eaves are a different distance.
Mm-hmm.
Is that excluded from the side yard setback requirement, or which one are we voting on? It's noted.
Right. You vote on the wall line variation.
Okay.
Yeah. it's always indicated it, or included in the packet, and Cliff always describes it during the hearings, but there is an allowance for the eaves.
Okay,
right.
I have a question. The proposed new entry, how close is that on the south side to the lot line?
Tagger, let me tell you exactly. It is 5'2¾" from the south side. I'm sorry, should I stand up there?
No, you're good.
Yeah, please, just because we're recording
sure.
them.
I'm sorry. That distance is 5 foot. Oh boy, sorry. 5'2¾" from the property line.
If there are no other comments or questions, you can close and discuss amongst yourselves.
Okay.
That means the public can still stay, but it just means there's no more testimony that's taken.
Any discussion?
I think it's a good plan. I think it fits with the neighborhood, fits with the existing house. I think it's reasonable. So I'm definitely inclined to vote yes.
Note that almost half of the existing house is in the setback. I mean, it would be pretty onerous to. This is dissimilar to other instances where there were slight variations in the setback that people were trying to build up.
Right.
I think it'd be a hardship to try to design around this 13-inch setback. And the additional.
This has come up before when you're adding on to a non-conforming location also. And it's a 42-foot lot, which makes it even tighter. There's many corner lots that they're built towards one street. So I don't know that it's that unique to a corner lot.
Covers the existing footprint. I don't see any reason why not to go forward with it. It looks like a nice addition.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion to approve variances.
I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Should we do two for each, or can we do both?
Both as one.
It can be both as one. Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Who made the motion?
I did.
Member Lucchese.
I
seconded
second.
By Member Dombrowski. Thank you. When you are casting your vote, if you are voting, a yes is a vote in favor of recommending approval. If you vote no, it's a vote not in favor of recommending approval. If you vote no, we would ask you to identify which of the standards you feel the application does not meet. Are we ready for a vote?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Smetana?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
I'm going to vote no. I don't think standards 1, 3, and 8 have been met.
Okay. That means your vote is 3-1. So the way this works is that if you do not get 4 votes in favor of approval, it goes to the Village Board as a vote to not grant the variation. The Zoning Board of Appeals will come back in February, and they will adopt their findings of fact. That's just a written document that memorializes the recommendation that's being made to the Village Board. That the meetings are this same time next month. So we'll get you specific dates. We'll follow up with you and let you know. And then that recommendation will go to the Village Board at their second meeting in February. So I will follow up with Mr. Zinni and with you so that you know what meeting dates are coming up. The Village Board has the ability to modify or amend the recommendation. It is going as 3-1. But again, because it wasn't 4 votes, it's not in favor. It's a technicality in the way the code works. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. So there were 2 people missing today and 1 recused, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so.
You could ask that the Village Board remand it back to the Zoning Board for a public hearing or to reopen it if there are additional members present, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, the Village Board could do that. But
why was the no voted again? I just want to understand that, so when I look at the packet.
There have to be 4 affirmative votes, so there have to be 4 yes votes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Ms. O'Brien asked.
Standards 1, 3, and 8.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I don't have anything else for the commission tonight.
Motion to adjourn.
Member O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.